Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you by these great companies that are giving us money to let you listen to their stuff.
Bullshit, Kyle. We make this show. We make this show. You and me. Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you by us.
Someone's got to pay the bills, Dan, because it's not our trading.
All right, roll them.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Hello and welcome to the China Shop, folks. We are open for business. I'm Shopkeeper Dan, and with me as always is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. How are you doing today, Kyle?
Licking my wounds is all I'm going to say.
Oh, yes. Likewise. Everything I had shares in is down for the week, and oof.
How can the S&P continue to hit new highs, and yet everything in my watch list is red? Like, how is that possible?
Sector rotation?
I tried to get a mix of different sectors. It's ridiculous. Like, I'm just really bad at picking this last 2 months, it seems like. As we'll get into.
Yeah. Oh, I'm right there with you. Yep. As we'll get into. So come on in. Step right in. Come into the shop. Sit back. Relax. Hedge against the rage machine. We'd love to welcome any new listeners just joining us. We're here to smash our way into a complete set of fine china, sharing our ever-growing strategies. We're trying to maximize those gains and cut those losses, though I haven't been good at cutting my losses lately. I've just been stacking them up right on top of each other.
I've been really good at making losses, it seems like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. And if you're new to the shop and stock trading in general, you can always check out our knowledge center on financialineptitude.com, or even give our beginner trading episode a listen. We'll have that link in the episode description.
We've got beginner trading and beginner options. And if you're interested in crypto, too, our interview with Nick Proutin.
Yeah.
Serves as a good kind of intro to how those work.
Yeah, he lays it all out. And you can always join our Discord server, hang out and chat with us live, real time. Kyle and I are on there every day. It's just really an awesome place to be.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do join that server, make sure you send us a message, either a DM or email. If you give us your mailing address, we can send you a smash it yourself mug straight from the shop. We're just so glad you're here.
We also need from our listeners some bet consequences in case we do lose this month to the random.
Yes, in case we both lose.
Just in case.
Oh, it's not looking good.
No, it's not.
we do have some show news, Kyle. We got a couple guests coming up in April.
We've got Jennifer Beck, the founder and seller of Cannabase, a marijuana company based out of Colorado. Looking forward to talking to her about some of the different ins and outs of operating a marijuana business. So we've got her lined up for this week.
Yes.
And then who's the one after that?
Then we got Eddie Pence.
Oh, that's right.
Comedian and co-host of The Ralph Report. We're recording on the 25th. It'll be coming out that Wednesday. We'll have that out. We're going to do a beginner trading investing episode with him. He's a really funny guy, and he knows nothing. So if you already know your basic stuff, it's still going to be a good time. I'm really excited about it.
Nothing about stocks. Let's not overgeneralize there. I'm sure he knows something.
Yeah, he's an expert at pro wrestling.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. In fact, I've created some metaphors and analogies for stock trading that are specifically related to wrestling, just so if he's not understanding, I'll be able to put it in a language he knows.
Kind of funny is actually when I was perusing the upcoming earnings, I noticed that WWE is actually a publicly traded company.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, their earnings are coming up next week.
Well, there you go. Yeah. There you go. There's a stock for him to be long on.
Yep.
Or he might be like, WWE, fuck them. Oh, yes. All right, folks, sit back, relax. We've got a loquacious, lovely, lavish show for you today.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of market-moving news, stocks on the radar, and more options than Jesus has friends.
That's a lot of options. I don't know if we have that many. I'm pretty sure Jesus
slightly
has a lot of friends.
Slightly less options than Jesus has friends.
Significantly less.
We've got 10% of the options that Jesus has friends.
Less.
Anyway, less. All right. Less. All right. Oh, and please, please reach out to us. We love your messages and comments on Twitter, Facebook, Discord. Once again, got that link in the episode description. If you're old school, you can send us an email or a telephone call. You can reach us at twobulls@financialineptitude.com or hit us up at 725-22-BULLS. Maybe you got a hot stock tip. Maybe you want to tell us about a great trade you just made. Or maybe you just ran a marathon and you're fucking proud of that amazing accomplishment. It doesn't matter. We love it when you reach out.
Maybe you just want us to read something stupid on the air, because as we said before, any new ratings that we get on there, we will read them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The podcast reviews.
Yep.
Should I read the ones that we already have?
I
don't think there's anything too entertaining in there.
No, not really that funny. That'd be just inflating our ego at this point.
Yeah, we don't need any more of that.
These guys make learning about a dry topic sometimes very interesting, fun, and informative. Thank you, A. Wendy Bird. I think that's the latest one that popped up.
Well, Kyle, you know that brings us to our bet results for the week.
Does it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I picked... I'm going first. I already know it.
Yeah, we return to our normal format where you go first.
Don't get too cocky. All right, wait, let me redo that. Don't get too penis-y. All right, I went with NNDM, opened the week at 787, it looked like it was going to do something good, it peaked at 816, fell off, then went on a run again on like Thursday, and then it just fucking died on Friday. It ended up stopping out at $6.94, so I went from $451.95 down to $398.54.
That is painful.
And I'm getting to the point now where I'm one more bad pick and I'm just going to start shorting my picks for the rest of the month.
Do it. Do it.
I mean, I can't do any worse, right?
Right. Right.
I mean, I'd be up $100 if I'd done that.
That's, yeah, $101.46.
Actually, more. Well, I don't know. I wouldn't have been stopped out, at least.
Right. You still wouldn't be beating the random, but we'll get there. We'll get there.
No, I wouldn't. What'd you do?
I picked BGCP,
mm-hmm.
Which opened the week at 571. And stayed pretty steady, but mostly upward, and ended the week at 592. For a modest gain, brought my total from 512.36 up to 531.20, which has me up 6% for the month. Woo!
Fuck you.
Yeah. Well, you know, Kyle, if you picked better companies, you wouldn't be in this situation. Have you tried that, Kyle? Have you tried just picking better ones?
No, actually. No, that never occurred to me.
But I can't be too cocky with my 6% gain because our random ZNTL.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Wow. We got spanked. pretty bad.
That's putting it lightly.
I think it was Monday or Tuesday. They had the news that their new drug got like full approval.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's never good.
Well, apparently the market really liked that news because their stock went from $42.59 up to $50.68 by end of day Friday.
God damn it.
Yeah. So the random, which was up 1%, it was at $506.62. has now moved up to $602.85. So random is up a good 20% for the month so far. It's only been 2 weeks, Kyle.
God damn it, I know.
2 weeks. Yeah. Oh,
shit.
My God.
What stupid shit are we going to have to do for that?
Yes, listeners, let us know what our bet consequences should be. If we both lose to the random this month, then we both lose. That's the way the rules work.
Yeah, and if we get multiple good ones, we'll just make that a Twitter poll at the end of the month.
That's dangerous.
I know. It's for the show, Dan. It's for the show.
It's for the show.
Just remember that when you're cleaning your car.
All right. And remember, folks, play along. You can make your bet, post it on Discord, email in the show, calling in. If you can't make it by the beginning of the next trading week, put your bet picks in for the next week, we'll shoot you some swag if you end up beating me and Kyle at the end of the month.
You know, we also do the Webull paper trading, so if it's easier to post your results on that, we can probably adapt it to do something along those lines.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Might make it a little easier for people to participate.
Yeah, yeah. We're not trying to make it difficult. Anyway, Kyle, how did our Twitter poll do?
What did we ask? It was about Amazon, right? What was the question?
Yes, I remember. It was what's the biggest threat to workers?
That's right. Okay, yeah. Let's see. We had unionization, robotics, Jeff Bezos himself, or drinking from the wrong water bottle.
Yes. Yes.
Drinking from the wrong bottle got 60%, 40% for robots, and the others, zero. So definitely nobody wants to drink from the wrong bottle at Amazon. And actually, along those lines, too, I don't know, I posted this in the Discord, but Jeff Bezos actually came out and commented on how the rope. He's saying that Amazon workers are not treated like robots. And then he promptly unveiled a robotic plan to keep them working. So let's see what it says here.
Wait, so people aren't robots, but we don't treat them like robots, but we are using robots to schedule and manage their time?
Well, let me just read the quote here, or what the letter said. So he starts out to the shareholders saying that they have to do a better job for their employees. Coming out amid the ongoing reports of untenable conditions for Amazon workers. It then promptly lays out a strategy. Let's see, it seems a bit odd for a company that's been accused of treating workers like robots. It's a robotic scheme that will develop new staffing schedules using algorithms. So Bezos said that the company will develop new staffing schedules that use sophisticated algorithms to rotate employees among jobs that use different muscle tendon groups and decrease repetitive motion and help protect employees from MSD risks. None of that addresses bathroom breaks, though, from what I see in this article. They did apologize for that, for attacking Mark Pocan on that bizarre PR strategy they were running.
We're sorry that you aren't robots, employees. Yeah. We don't understand why you need to go to the bathroom. Robots don't have to go to the bathroom.
At what point do we start wondering whether or not Bezos is a robot?
Oh, my God. At this very point right now, as it's occurring to me as you say it, is an android.
At the very least, he's got to be on the spectrum, right?
You know, that's a real possibility. Well, speaking of Amazon news, I think that that brings us to the news.
Okay.
Well, we all know why we're listening today. The shop is bursting with the week to replace. So sit back, we got some market affairs. Get some stories for the bulls and the bears. Clowns running companies. Laws change overnight, here we are. It's time for China Shop News. Yeah, now it's time for China Shop News.
All right, so we just talked about Amazon. What did you want to lead off with, Kyle?
Go ahead and lead off with the IPO, Robinhood IPO in Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it seems that regulators in Massachusetts are seeking to pull the plug on Robinhood.
Goddamn.
Just as the app is trying to do their IPO.
That's right, Massachusetts. Never forget. Never forget.
Yeah, they're moving to revoke the Robinhood's broker-dealer license in Massachusetts.
Really?
So if If they pull this off, you wouldn't be able to use Robinhood in Massachusetts to trade securities.
It just keeps getting worse for Robinhood, too. I saw something else, too, that popped up over the weekend. There's some kind of snafu with Dogecoin.
Yes.
Maybe not necessarily Dogecoin itself. I think their whole crypto system went out.
Yes, the crypto trading capabilities had a big outage.
Right in the middle of that Dogecoin surge.
As Dogecoin was surging upward.
Is it Dogecoin or is it Doggycoin? Or is it Dogecoin?
I always thought it was Doggycoin.
I think it should be Doggycoin because it's based on I think we've had this conversation, haven't we?
I don't remember.
Pretty sure we have.
It's the most important thing to talk about if you're talking about Doggycoin.
Yeah.
and I have to say, so Robinhood claims that it had nothing to do with the prices of any of the cryptos. And it was just while the surge was happening and so many users were accessing the platform that it crashed it.
Yeah.
But to anybody who was one of those users, it's the same thing.
Yeah, I'm looking at the article on that here. And Twitter's not very pleased with Robinhood, as you can imagine. One of the quotes here, how convenient, Robinhood always has issues when their customers are making money.
Yeah, what was the other one? I swear to God, if Robinhood does anything to mess with my hashtag doggy profit, they're getting a one-way trip to the sun.
How are they going to make that happen?
Well, it's Twitter, so I'm assuming they can do anything by just typing tweets.
So yeah, Robinhood, not doing things well again.
Again.
To put it mildly.
It's just every story that comes out kind of tarnishes them a little bit more, it seems.
Yeah.
They're not on a good run. And if Massachusetts does take them out in that state, I don't see how they can keep.
I think you were asking if you can short an IPO, and I'm pretty sure that's not an option, but man, I wish we could.
Yeah. Can you, Kyle, can you short an IPO?
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure that doesn't work that way. You probably short it when it opens. That might actually be a good idea.
Regardless, I don't see good things on the horizon for Robinhood's IPO.
Me neither. Speaking of crypto, though, didn't we have another IPO that...
Oh, yeah, crypto and IPOs, yeah.
What was that?
Coinbase.
I was kind of watching it a little bit when it first opened. I saw it popped pretty good and then kind of deflated pretty quickly after that. It opened at, what, like 380 and then ran up to over 400 and then kind of deflated back down to around 320. It was initially priced at 250, I think.
Yeah, it did not. Nobody got it at 250.
No. Well, that's the thing, too, because my wife was had a friend asking her about like how to get into it. Like, he was wanting to just try to make a quick buck, and I tried to explain to him, like, you know, when these things first list, like, you always see, like, the IPO is priced at this point, or it's set to open at this. Once they actually start gauging the interest, though, you'll never see that price unless it's not doing very well. So yeah, they initially priced it at 250, but the cheapest you could have got, or the price when it actually opened, the first shares that traded was at like 381. So I tend to stay away from IPOs till at least like a week later. I like to let the enthusiasm kind of die off before I decide whether or not I want to get into it, but that's just personal preference. I mean, you could have made a little bit of money, you know, on the pop, but you got to be quick.
Right, and then how do you gauge when's the right time to sell?
I think you just got to use stops, right?
Yeah. You have to use a trailing stop.
Yeah, that's the only way.
Our friend Sean shared on the Discord a link to a Benzinga article that was talking about how the real money was made from the people who invested before the IPO,
mm-hmm.
the venture capitalists who managed to buy shares.
Yeah.
One guy named Gary Tan, the founder of Initialized Capital, invested $300,000 in Coinbase in 2013, and he got his shares at 15 cents a share.
Nice.
So
yeah, he's doing pretty good.
It's now worth $2.4 billion.
I think the funniest thing I saw on Twitter this week related to Coinbase was somebody saying, I almost invested in 2013, except I didn't know anybody. I didn't have any money. I didn't even know what Coinbase was or have any resources to get involved with it.
Right? I don't believe Coinbase shares were available on something like MicroVentures.
No.
I'm pretty sure Gary Tan had that registered broker access that nobody else gets.
Yep.
But that is the power of being using venture capitalist money. is you can get involved in a company where you're getting shares at a ridiculous price compared to where it might eventually IPO. Right. It's just, you know, Gary, in that article doesn't talk about how many investments, Gary, 300 grand investments Gary Tan made that year that went nowhere.
Right. Yeah, you only got to be right once, though, right?
Right.
I will say on TD Ameritrade, if you sign up for alerts, sometimes you do get access to IPOs. Just I've seen a couple of them pop up on there. I've tried to take part in it, just never actually got shares. It's hit or miss whether or not you can actually get anything. There's usually so much interest in them and so few shares that actually go around that it's just luck of the draw.
Yeah, I don't go near IPOs.
Yeah.
They're not for me.
Just too volatile, too risky. Naked calls, though, that's where it's at.
Oh, yeah, there's no risk there. I have nothing to talk about.
Oh, God.
In trading
right.
for naked calls. Ugh. You know, there was one other story that I came across that I definitely am very excited to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Hometown International, HWIN. It.
Oh, I think I saw it. Yeah.
It's a company that owns a single New Jersey-based deli called Your Hometown Deli. One location. That's all this company owns. They did a total, in the past 2 years combined, according to their SEC filings, they did a profit, they did sales. This isn't even profit. They did $35,748 in sales in the past 2 years.
Oh my God.
This company is listed, and their price has been going up. Let's see, March, it hit $14 a share, which brought the market cap up to $100 million. Over $100 million.
Wow. Okay.
Yes. So there is a $100 million deli in New Jersey that makes about 18 grand a year in sales.
Is it sitting on like the best piece of property? Is it on the boardwalk?
I'm assuming there's oil under the under
there. Or diamonds or
this to me is the poster child for overvaluation.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing in a lot of companies. We had some talk on the Discord and I was talking about Tesla being overvalued. Somebody asked me where it should be. And I actually looked at the price for earnings and I thought, you know, I think honestly, Tesla should be more around $15-$20 a share. I think I put 7 to 15.
If you give it a PE ratio closer to like what GE or some of the other auto companies trade at, yeah, it definitely.
If we assume they make as much as GE.
No, if you just look at the PE ratio, I think I calculated out like that. Its PE ratio is over 1,000.
It's over 1,000, yeah. And
that's fucking ridiculous.
That number should be between like 6 and maybe 30 at the highest.
Right. If you're
looking at a healthy company. Like I think Warren Buffett was bought into Kroger because their PE ratio was like 6.5, 7.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, well, that's a great deal.
Yeah.
So you look at something like that, and then look at Tesla, and then in all of that as the context for a company trading on the stock exchange that only owns a single deli in New Jersey has over $100 million market cap.
Yeah,
it's bonkers. It's bonkers. Their sales are $18,000 a year. That's not their profits.
Right.
Yeah. So something's afoot in Denmark, as Shakespeare might say, or is it foul in Denmark? God damn it! I don't know Shakespeare. Why did I reach for that quote? Something's afoot in Denmark.
I wasn't a literary major.
Yeah, we're classy here in the shop. I make Shakespearean references all the time, and I get them right.
Yeah,
right. That's who I am. That's all I had for news this week, Kyle.
All right, I've been debating on whether or not to bring this up because it's the company I work for is what all this relates to.
But
I kind of feel like just fuck it and go ahead and just say it.
Say it.
You can always check with the wife and see if she disagrees and edit this in post. But
say it.
Credit Suisse. Credit Suisse, Credit Suisse, Credit Suisse, whatever it is, that company that was that's kicked off the whole Archegos collapse.
Yeah.
They've also been taking a huge loss on the Greensill Capital collapse, the financial institution that has been doing some shady lending practices to GFG Alliance. GFG Alliance is the company that actually owns the steel mill that I work for.
Hmm.
So, yeah, that's why I'm a little nervous about telling this, but or talking about this story, but I mean, it's all in the news, right? They can't do anything to me for that, right?
Public information.
Yeah. So I was doing a little bit more digging into this, and I was surprised to find out that Greensill was giving GFG money on invoices that, well, let's start from the beginning there. Part of the way that GFG was funding all of its acquisitions that it's been making was by selling their invoices. And, you know, as somebody that works for the company, I don't like to see us basically taking out the financial equivalent of a payday loan, but I guess that's maybe kind of normal. Where the shady part gets into is not just the amount that they've been doing, but also the fact that they've been selling invoices on clients that they haven't had any business dealings with. Yeah, like the person who was put in charge of trying to figure out where all this money went to, and these invoices, trying to figure out where they're, you know, how to collect on them, like reached out to, like, I think it was like three different companies, and the guys were like, we don't deal with them. We've never dealt with them. We have no plans to deal with them. So GFG's CEO, owner, Gupta, Sanjeev Gupta, he came out and said that these were prospective client invoices that he was getting money on.
Okay. Okay, so if these are payday loans, this is the equivalent of me saying, yeah, I got a job at that law firm, and I make $5,000 a week. Give me a payday loan on it. And then when they say, wait, why don't you have that job? It's like, well, that's the job I wanted.
Yes. Yeah, pretty much. That's what it sounds
like. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That's bad. That's really bad.
I want to be careful on how I speculate on this, but I think there's a real... I mean, I was overhearing someone listen to Sanji's podcast where he was kind of trying to address all this. Apparently, he's been hiding out in Dubai under the... God damn it. What's his reasoning was that it's centrally located for him to be able to coordinate everything because he's got companies in America, Australia, Europe.
Oh, he's not there to hide.
No, he's not hiding.
Yeah, he's just there to work. He's just there to work.
How is that?
Conveniently.
Okay, yeah, let me read this article. So
how is that not fraud?
Thank you for saying that. I didn't say that. I'm not speculating.
I said it. I'll admit it.
Let me read the quote from Bloomberg. The more advanced way to say that Greensill Capital worked is that sometimes it would sit down with the client and imagine who might one day become a customer of that client, and then imagine how much of that client's product the hypothetical customer might buy, and then Greensill would pay the client early for those entirely hypothetical receivables, and then Greensill would collect the money later from the customer, if the customer actually became a customer and bought things from the client. If not, Greensill and the client would keep rolling the loans over and hope that one day the customer would show up. It's called prospective receivables financing. And, it's weird.
Prospective receivables finance. Well, Kyle, I really feel very, very strongly that Tilray, the marijuana company, they're going to sponsor us. They're going to sponsor us, and we're going to make so much money, like $1 million a year.
Yeah.
So if you could just go ahead and front me my half right now.
I think we should go to the bank. We should go to the bank and try to get that loan.
Let's get that money.
Yeah.
Yeah, we call it prospective receivables financing. Like, yeah, I'm going to call my banker and tell him I need a prospective receivables financed loan. Oh my God, this is brilliant.
It's very easy to confuse it with fraud, apparently. It's
Now, Kyle, I'm going to start slapping you in the face. It's going to be very easy for you to confuse that with me aggressively hitting you.
Okay, it does say that it was all disclosed, understood, and negotiated. Greensill knew which receivables were real and which were fake. It's funny that they use the word fake there. And presumably, it advanced money on different terms for the real and fake receivables. The author says, then, as I type it, it all seems absurd. And if you are not deeply involved in the day-to-day relationship between Greensill and his clients, you might be shocked to learn. Lend a client money against receivables from customers who never even heard of the client.
Right? Like Tilray might be surprised to learn that that we're a partner?
Yeah. This is the German metal scrap business. RPS Siegen GmbH confirmed to another website that it had been approached about outstanding invoices and had not traded with Liberty. It says, we know them, but a trading relationship between us does not exist.
That's a huge deal. Wow.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if our company is going to be owned by the bank here soon or what. Hopefully I still have a job. Anyway.
I think you had one last thing.
Yeah, just to quickly wrap this up. I've been seeing, I don't have any articles pulled up, but I've been seeing whispers of things asking if there's a need for another fourth stimulus check.
Ooh, stimmy.
And
fourth stimmy.
I think you had some numbers on how the third one did, didn't you?
Yeah, I saw a report that the third stimulus check boosted consumer spending by like 9.8%, almost 10%.
Okay. So it's doing something. Yeah, it's definitely stimulating.
Yeah.
I guess that'd probably make a good question then, huh? Should I ask Twitter?
A Twitter poll?
Is a fourth stimulus check needed?
Yes. Fourth stimulus check. Yes, please. Yes, but only a small one, or no fucking way.
Yeah, we already have enough debt.
Yeah, it's all imaginary. Whatever. That's one thing. you know, that debt never gets smaller. It doesn't matter who's in office, Kyle. It
really
never
doesn't
gets smaller.
That's funny too. I finally started realizing. I came to the realization that money operates under the same issues, or the same problems that I have with cryptocurrencies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole idea that it's worth whatever we say it is.
Yeah, that's exactly currency. Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I don't like knowing that. Okay. So that'll be a Twitter poll. Put a link to that.
Sounds good to me. All right. Let's move on.
All right. We need to get into investing here.
We do. But before we do, I'd like to take a moment to talk about how Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you by Sue Pullen at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender. Sue Pullen is a certified mortgage advisor. She focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She's got over 20 years' experience and has helped thousands of homeowners, whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage. She can help. She will help. She loves to help. She's licensed in 26 states and growing, so reach out and see what Sue can do for you. Best way to reach her is to just give her a call at 520-977-7904, or you can reach her in an email at spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Pullen has an MLS number of 206048. That phone number, once again, is 520-977-7904, and that email is spullen@fairwaymc.com. Reach out to Sue for all your mortgage needs.
And she still believes in us. She's hanging in there.
Oh, yes. She's hanging in there.
Oh, thank God.
I was just thinking at some point I'm going to have to say she's got over 21 years of experience.
Yeah, we've been doing this for about 6 months now. That's probably getting close.
Yeah, in a few months, we're going to have to update that that med roll.
Well, over 20. I mean, that could be anything, right?
Yeah, it's actually 35, but we thought that sounded pretentious. So.
20 sounds better. don't want to make her sound old.
The young and lovely Sue Pullen.
Yes. All right. There you go. Let's play some music.
What music are we going to play?
I don't know. We have new songs?
Maybe. Depends on how productive I am between this recording and going to work.
Oh, you better hurry up then and get this thing done.
Now look at them bozos. That's the way to do it. Do your investing up commission free. That ain't working. That's the way to do it. Money in something like the S&P. It ain't certain, but that's the way to do it. Let me tell you, just play it long. Maybe get an index tracking marijuana. Maybe get some Arctic space fund.
All right, investing.
You wanna lead us off?
Sure. It was a really rough week overall.
Yeah.
All of the companies that I have shares in went broke through their bottom resistance. They just fell right through them. And IDEX ended the week at 239. I think they started the week. Somewhere more along the lines like 290. They almost hit $3 in the middle of the week, but now they're at 240. That was just a mess. OGI, I can't understand why they keep falling after that British American Tobacco investment. They started the week over 3 and they've ended it at 249. right now.
Well, everyone bought it on the good news, but there's no one to buy it now. They already bought.
Right.
Is that what Richard taught us?
But if everybody's selling, they can't sell it unless there's a buyer.
Yeah. I don't know.
I actually think that it's a great opportunity because I was talking to Jen about it. If British American Tobacco sells their stake,
mm-hmm.
then I'll get out.
Yeah.
Until then, I consider this to be a really prime buying opportunity. Whether I didn't pick up any new shares, Monday I'm going to be looking at selling some more puts. I figure if it's at $2.50 right now and I sell $2.50 puts
mm-hmm.
for May or June, then I'm looking at if they go up and rebound, then I just collect the premium for those puts. If not, I'm still getting it at the price it's at now. I guess yeah. I'm counting on it not continuing. Like it won't go down forever. The company's not going away. I don't think. I don't think. Right. Like I said, the trigger for me will be British American pulling out.
Right. I can piggyback off of that.
Yeah.
I've had, I think, Jumia, Virgin Galactic, Bed Bath & Beyond, F-Cell, like, all of those stocks got hammered for me.
Oh, yeah.
But like you're saying, I mean, if these are companies that you think long-term are going to be great, then, I mean, these big drops are just juicy discounts, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's the way I'm trying to look at it.
Like, I feel with space kind of sucks, because I think that one was all kicked off by Richard Branson selling about $150 million worth of shares, but...
Whoa, yeah.
Yeah, but there's been a lot of hit pieces on it, too, it seems like. There's just been a lot of bad press on Virgin Galactic, and I don't know what's going on. Actually, almost makes me wonder if... I mean, hedge funds kind of got their pee-pee smacked when the whole GameStop thing blew up, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if they're not starting to kind of come back out and starting to short things again, because... Quite a few of these stocks had some pretty decent short interest beforehand.
Was Virgin Galactic, did it have a lot of short interest?
Oh, yeah, because it popped, too, when the whole squeeze thing was happening with GameStop. I think it peaked at about $60 a share. Yeah, I'm still bullish on that stock long-term, and then for me, the key for that's going to be whatever happens with this test flight in May. If that doesn't happen, then, yeah, I may end up, I don't know, I might have to reevaluate at that point, but that's... That's the milestone I'm looking for right now.
I never consider it to be a good sign when the head honcho sells a ton of their shares.
Yeah, but he still had, I think he had like 55 or 60 million shares to begin with. He sold about 5 million of them. So it's not like he cashed completely out. I think it was more he just wanted to be able to reallocate some of that money into something else. Again, that's just speculation on my part, but it's not like he completely exited his position. And also, Kathy Woods is still buying it. So as long as that continues to happen.
Didn't the CEO also dump some shares recently? Wasn't that in the article?
I don't know.
It wasn't just Branson. One of the other insider holders dumped shares before him, like the week before.
I know Chamath had dumped some of his, but he's not the CEO. Yeah. He was the person whose SPAC took it public.
Okay. All right. That was the person. Yeah. So yeah, we've had two insiders dump their shares on that one.
Yeah, but he was doing the same thing. He was just trying to, I mean, because he's still involved with the company. He didn't sell all his, he sold his complete stake out of it. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. That kind of sucks, too.
So I don't know what's happening there, but it doesn't seem good to me.
No, it doesn't look great, but I don't know. There's also been just a lot of bad press. I don't know if it's... It kind of sounds like the hedge fund playbook, right? Short something, then throw out a bunch of shit articles about it.
That is true. That is true.
Again, that's still speculation, though. I'm still happy to buy it. Yep.
Buy it on the dip?
And I am going to. I haven't yet. well, yeah, we can talk about that when we get to trading. there were a couple other stocks that I wanted to point out too that we've been liking for a while that finally started to move. One of your pick'em picks from like a month ago, Budweiser.
Yes.
That one's starting to show some good movement. It took a while for it to actually start doing what you thought it was going to do, but you know, better late than never. Same thing with SAP. I think SAP's been on our pick'em list for multiple months. really starting to move right now, and I think they've got earnings coming up in about 2 weeks. So that was the one where I put that on the pick'em list because I saw all the insiders were buying after it completely like tanked. I think it went from a really high number to like a 109 at the bottom, I think, or somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's seeing the insiders start gobbling up shares, like, yeah, okay, I'll buy some of that.
Yeah, that's always a good sign.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of the Richard Branson sign.
Oh, God damn it. Yeah, maybe I do need to cut my losses. No. My thesis is based on I'm waiting to see the test flight. I still believe that the test flight will, good news from that can only give
people that excitement and confidence.
Yep. Yeah. It needs a trigger, and that's the closest trigger that's coming up. You got anything else for investing?
No, just that the S&P and the Dow and the NASDAQ were up for the week.
Yeah, they were up, but everything we picked is down. How is that possible?
We'll call it the China. That's the law of the China shop
effect.
That's the law. that's the China shop effect.
Oh God, it sucks. So that happens. All right.
Good thing I'm diversified.
All right. Yeah, right. At least my other holdings are doing all right. Salesforce, thank you. All right. Earnings?
Yeah. Let's talk about some earnings.
Play my song.
My motto's always been, when I'm right, it's right. So I'll wait and watch the charts and the change in price. When the movement's mostly finished at the end of the day, and we know the coming earnings gonna move it my way. Skyrockets in sight, earnings call delight. Earnings call delight.
All right, Monday, we've got Coca-Cola and IBM. On Tuesday, Johnson & Johnson, Procter & Gamble, Netflix, and Lockheed Martin, LMT. The 21st, we got Verizon, Equifax, and CMG. Fuck if I remember what that one was. CMG is actually Chipotle. And how the fuck is a restaurant stock worth over $1,500 a share?
What?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem right.
It doesn't, right?
But they
got earnings coming up too. They have more than one deli though, so I guess maybe they never split their shares. Like, fuck, that's expensive.
Yeah, they might have a little bit more than 18 grand in sales for the year.
I think. Well, we'll find out on Wednesday. the 22nd, we have Intel, Sprint, SAP. SAP is this week. And American Airlines, and then on the 23rd, AXP, American Express. So, earnings season's about to start getting underway. We just had a bunch of the bank stocks reporting last week. This week, we start to see a lot more coming up.
Yep.
I thought the dead season lasted more than a week.
No, apparently not.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, earnings season, this goes on for a lot longer than initially believed.
Yeah, it's like, let's see, what we got 12 weeks, so you get like 1 week on each end where you got like 50 companies reporting instead of 600 a day. All right, Dan, we got another song? We got a new trading song? Maybe, possibly?
I mean, it's possible. Let's take a listen.
No!
Never!
You say you want a ticker that the bell just rung, it's time to get in. Ups drive us wild, drops drive us crazy. The bulls will shout, the bulls are always shouting. I wanna get rich overnight and profit every trade.
Yes, we do. Okay.
All right. So the only thing I did this week was I tried out the buy on the 9th. Though I jumped the gun and I bought some options on the 8th, much to my detriment.
Oh, I thought you did all right on them.
Yeah. No. So I bought two different sets. I bought into the NASDAQ and I bought on the S&P. The one I did in the S&P, I made a solid 25%. I bought it on the 9th, about the middle of the day, and then sold them the next morning for 25% gain because I was too excited to have it work. If I'd held on,
mm-hmm.
I would have seen a lot more return. Because
It was a 4:15 call. I'm pretty sure that where we closed somewhere around was it 4:17, 4:18?
Yeah, April 21st.
Yeah, that was Friday. Oh, April 21st. Oh, okay. Oh, you would have done really well then.
Yeah, I bought them at $1.74. What are they at now?
4:17. The SPY was at 4:17. So you would have had $2.26 of intrinsic value plus whatever time left.
Yeah. I bought $415 calls. So that was the trade. Like, and I'm going to look to follow that again at the end of the month with some more money.
Yeah, I'll probably be piggybacking on that. It sounds like a solid thesis. And it's funny because we couldn't find any information on it either. I went and tried to look up the strategy and just kept getting pension funds.
Yeah. So this could be some sort of underground secret thing, you know.
Should we tell everybody about it?
Yeah, everybody turn off the podcast. We're you don't need to hear this next bit. This is just for us.
Yeah, thanks, Chris.
No. Thank you. When I paper traded him and I look back, I gave myself 5 days.
Yeah.
You know, he said 2 days and sell it. I looked at it and said, no, you know what? I need to be waiting about 5 days. So I bought the NASDAQ ones a day early, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
Bought them at $1.69. And then by the day I should have been buying them, at the end of the day, they were at like freaking 90 cents.
Right.
And I resisted the temptation to sell off some stuff to buy more and double down. I realized that I was thinking, I haven't been doing the rich freeze and stuff, but I was thinking about it and I thought, no, this is just me freaking out. Like, I need to stay through my original plan. And then the next day, of course, the Thursday, NASDAQ did incredible. And if I had bought a bunch more at 80, like they went up over to 2.
Right.
The next day. And I was like, oh, God, what am I doing? I don't know what I'm doing. I'm awful at this. But it was 5 days, so I'm looking to sell them by Wednesday. So I still have some time on these. They don't expire until these ones expire the 23rd.
I would get rid of those as soon as you can.
Yes. They're close to being in the money. They're $115 calls. It's the TQQ, and then the TQQ is at $111. So really, the NASDAQ just has to move about 1% upward for these to get in the money. So
yeah, I don't like the way the NASDAQ has been kind of disengaged from the way the Dow and the S&P have been trading.
Yes, at the end of the month, I'm only going to be doing the SPY. I'm not going to play with the NASDAQ one. The SPY, if I had used all of the money that I put aside for this just in the SPY, mm-hmm. and waited until Friday to sell, I would have made gangbusters money.
Right.
you know, so I want to follow that, but that's part of, you know, part of what we're doing. We're trying it out, see how it goes, making my mistakes, logging them, gonna make the next one better.
Yeah, hopefully.
But that's all I really did this week, but I thought it was definitely worth mentioning. Chris Borman gave us a great tip.
Yes. All right. Well, my week was going swimmingly until about Thursday, Friday. I had a bunch of April 16th contracts that I sold. OCGN and WWR, those contracts expired worthless. I got to keep the premium, but the fucking shares are dropping below my price point or my entry point. So those are underwater now. I'll have to see what I can get for selling contracts on May 21st, I think is what I'm looking at on them now. FSell and Jumia have been really beating me up, and I just keep doubling down on FSell, and I'm not sure if at some point I'm probably going to have to pull the plug on that. Jumia, I know Jumia can move like crazy, so I'm not as worried about it, but I do wonder if maybe I pick some too volatile stocks, getting excited about trying to put this plan into action. But yeah, I had FSell, Jumia, and Palantir was the one that just kind of fell off right at the last minute to fall below the exercise point. But that one's not as bad because I'm still up on that one. And I was actually kind of hoping to get those shares. I didn't think I was. But yeah, so now I got another margin balance. I just sold off some Johnson & Johnson shares to free up the money to try to close that balance out. And I was going to be okay until Palantir fell below. Now, yeah. Damn it.
Love a good monkey wrench in a plan.
Still kind of sticking with the plan, though. For May 21st, I sold Bed Bath & Beyond $24 puts at $220. Really liking that one. I think it fell farther than it should have. I still like that company, too. The sales, the earnings report that they just put out, they had shown increases in their online numbers, so still looked like there was good to come out of that report. I sold some $30 puts on PRPL at $1.50, Sabre $14 puts at 70 cents a contract, and FCell, I doubled down on it again, or tripled down at this point, $11 puts at $1.25. Please, FCell, please turn it around. I tried to buy a call spread on Bed Bath & Beyond. I was trying to buy $24 calls and sell $29 calls, but didn't get it. Damn it, I should have upped that limit a little bit higher just to try to get them, but I may still end up just buying some naked calls on it because, like I said, I still like the what they reported. I still think it's got good potential. I'm still bullish on it. The last thing I did in trading was AMC. I ended up buying shares at $9.28. This was more peer pressure than anything else. One of the guys at work has just been egging me on, trying to buy one share, buy one share, buy just buy a share. I bought a lot more than one share, but...
well, you got to have enough to sell a covered call. Come on.
Exactly. That was my thinking. Well, part of the reason why I decided to jump into it is I read the SEC filing that for the 500 million shares that they're seeking approval for issuing. Right in the like header of that, the CEO pledged that none of those shares will be issued in the year 2021.
Mm.
And if you listen, I think I posted a link to his interview on Trey's Trades and the Discord. Pretty sure he said in there too that if by putting it in the statement like that, it's basically becomes binding. Like now they cannot, otherwise they'll face legal action.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, that makes me feel
those shares diluted.
Exactly. And part of the other interesting thing about doing this share issuance is that there's actually a share count going on right now where they're trying to figure out how many extra shares. I don't know if I want to say counterfeit shares are out there. How many extra shares from all the shorting interest to kind of get a better idea of how many actual shorted shares there are out there. That information is supposed to be coming out, I think, on the 20th. So that could be really interesting.
That'd be fun to find out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, there might be a good time to try to get a little bit of cheaper AMC shares now. That squeeze that everyone seems to be thinking is going to happen to AMC, like what happened to GameStop, starting to look a little more promising.
Yeah, I've actually looked at them a couple times for selling puts because their volatility is so high.
Yeah,
they're pretty tasty premiums on them. But I've got my money tied up in other stupid companies that are just losing value.
My thing with AMC is that even if it doesn't actually squeeze, I still think it's a $20 or $30 a share company. I just may be stuck holding them for another couple years.
Yeah, my only trepidation is we're starting to see new movies being released as streaming. And I think that really is a game changer because home theaters have never been cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having a big giant screen at your house with your snacks and your drinks and your friends and your dinner, whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, but also part of that too is that they got, I think they renegotiated the fees for what they pay for those new releases to show them in their theaters. And that's like their number one major cost is paying those royalties. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. And I think the type of people who like going to the theaters like going to it for a different reason.
Oh, I'm that kind of person. Yeah. I love the big room, the giant screen, the, you know, overpriced snacks that I sneak in.
Anyway, all right. Should we move on to some alerts?
Yes, but first, since you've been talking about your AMC, I wanted to talk about my momentum list.
Oh yes,
that's all right,
go ahead.
Yum Brands Incorporated, YUM,
are they hitting again?
They didn't hit again. I just wanted to mention this week they finished off a 7-day in a row. On the 14th was their last day, so on Wednesday they hit 7 days in a row, and they backed off.
Yeah,
and hitting new highs. I don't think they're plummeting or anything. They're just not raising up. That's anything that gets over five is noteworthy in my book. We ended the week. There were a lot of companies that are hitting three days in a row. that are noteworthy. Mm-hmm. Allstate Corporation, the finance insurance company, ALL hit 3 days in a row, new highs. Dell just hit 2. They're on here a lot.
AAL has got earnings coming up. There's probably speculation that they're going to be not as bad as they thought.
Right. HP. HPQ is the stock ticker, but the company HP, they're on their third day in a row. Huh. If you look at HP's stock chart, they're like, this isn't just a 52-week high. They're at like their 20-year high right now.
Wow.
That's really exciting to me. HPQ. And then Lowe's is back on here. They finished Friday with their third day in a row.
Just in time to not be in time for the bet.
right, exactly.
Yep.
But Home Depot is not. So, oh no, it is. Home Depot has had 2 days in a row. Lowe's had 3. Sorry.
Okay.
My apologies. Home Depot is still on here. And Microsoft's two days in a row of new 52-week highs. And then the other one that keeps popping up here, they're 2 days in a row, Starbucks, but they've been popping on and off this list for the last couple of weeks. They just haven't been getting consecutive days.
I hate coffee.
Yeah, I don't drink coffee either, but they are $140 billion consumer discretionary company. And then the last one, which ended up being my pick'em for our list, was Wells Fargo hit a third day in a row. Banks are just doing really good right now with their earnings.
Yep.
Seeing a lot of sympathy. So that's my momentum lists. I think I'm most excited about HP when I looked at their 20-year chart, and I was like, whoa.
Oh, yeah.
These fuckers are up. This should have been my pick'em for the list.
Right.
All right. See where they're at next Friday. Anyway, so what do we got for options alerts, Kyle?
All right. I saw IBM next Friday expiration, $135 call sweep at $2.57 a contract, $207,000 bullish bet, bullish sentiment. $207,000 was the total cost. Bed Bath & Beyond, August 20th, $20 put sweep. That's the first time I saw a put sweep on there, at least that I noticed. That was $1.46 a contract, $66,000, also bullish sentiment on that as well. Neo, for all our Neo fans out there.
Woo!
Neo, April 23rd, next Friday, 36.50 calls at $1.16 a contract, $37,000 bet. And Honeywell, also 4/23, $232.50 call at $2.90. That was a $58,000 bet, and it was with bearish sentiment. So yeah, I try to pick a few that expire next week just so we can kind of track and see how they do. But yeah, those are the ones that kind of stood out to me. Neo also, I think, just had I just posted something in their Discord about the second generation charging or battery swap stations that they're opening up.
Oh yeah.
So maybe that's a bet on that. Okay. That's all I got for options alerts. I think it's time to start wrapping up.
Okay. Well, yeah, time to start wrapping up, maybe. Oh, shit. What's that? Is that the sound? That one? No, which one is it? Which sound do we follow?
I don't remember.
That one?
You change it every week, don't you?
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Dad.
The only good thing I did this week was there were a couple times where I stopped myself from trading because I was trying to take stock of my emotional state, like
right.
Richard Friesen was talking about on our last guest call, and then realizing like I was initiating a trade because I was panicking or I was anxious or mm-hmm. I just wanted to be trading.
You're trying to revenge trade or boredom trade?
See, yeah, in some instances, for sure. And I believe the four times I stopped myself, three of them were good. One I would have made money on, but it's not about the result; it's about the process.
So yep.
I'm not kicking myself. I thought overall that's the good thing I did this week.
I'd say that's good. I was struggling to find a good for me, and I think it settled on this. And I don't know. I'll let you judge it. Sticking to my plan to try to to focus on several stocks and basically do the wheel on them. Sticking with it, not just abandoning it at the first sign of trouble. So yeah, this last week has been kind of trying on it, making it not look so great, but I want to give it a little bit more time just to see if there's anything to it. I think you got to at least, you know, I think you got to stick with it for a little bit longer than 1 month.
Yeah, it's well, the 30 to 60 day option sales?
Yeah. No.
try that for 2 weeks and see how it fits.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that's the best thing I got.
Well, my bad was definitely moving in a day early on the options.
Yeah.
Strategy that Chris Borman was talking about. Oops. I was watching the NASDAQ, and I watched it the first hour on Tuesday. Wednesday was the day I should be buying. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, it's going to be up all day. Look at this. Look at this chart. Like, I'll buy right now. I know how the NASDAQ behaves. Well, no.
Yeah.
I bought it that day, and it ended the day. I was up 20%. So I thought I was a genius. I'm brilliant. I'm the best trader ever. And then, like, the next morning, it just crashed out.
Right.
And spent all of Wednesday going down, which, if I had been watching Wednesday and been following the plan, I would have been like, okay, well, I'll buy at the end of the day when it's finished crashing, and I would have,
right,
I'd be up a ton right now.
Yeah.
So that was definitely my bad, not following my plan.
My bad was missing out on getting those that call spread on Bed Bath & Beyond that I was trying to trade for.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's better to have a bad that didn't cost me money except an opportunity cost.
But this isn't the first time you've missed out on a really good call spread, though.
Yeah, and I think part of it is just being too aggressive with my stops. And like you mentioned a couple times, Richard Friesen's process that we're both kind of going through right now. He gave us access to all of his courses and his metrics, Mind Muscles program. One of the things that I've identified for myself as something I want to work on is that I try to get like every last penny out of these options when I trade them. And
yeah,
I don't know that's necessarily worth it. And that's something I think I need to work on. It's a saver's mentality I have, or it's me trying to get the best price possible. Whereas you don't have to get the best price. You just have to get the trade in. I mean, yep. Yeah, you need to get a decent price, but it doesn't have to be the best. That's something that, yeah, I need to work on and figure out what the root of it is. I think that's what the process is we have these habits that don't necessarily, that are not profitable for us, but we have them for a reason. So what's the positive reason, or what are these habits trying to protect us from? And if we can identify that, then we can try to take those habits and morph them into something that does serve our trading purposes. So that's what we're working on right now.
We're working on it.
Yes. it's not a quick process.
It's harder than it sounds.
Yes, it is.
I got to say, my ugly for me this week was sitting there and watching every stock I have shares in break through, not just go down. Like, I'm fine, they're going down. Okay, I'm playing the
wheel. No, yeah, breaking through. Yeah, me too. That.
But,
me too.
They all broke those low, like, I've been watching these stocks for a long time, and they all broke their lower resistance points.
The hell the just same week. Crashed through them. Yeah.
I felt like they conspired against me. Like, the stocks,
right,
have their own personalities.
Yep.
They got together at a bar and were like, fuck that guy. Let's all do it. Let's just all fucking go jump off that cliff together, hand in hand.
See, that's the difference between you and me. I didn't think they were conspiring against me. I was wondering if they're conspiring against Kathy Woods.
Oh. Apparently, I'm the bigger narcissist. But yeah, that was.
Yeah, that was pretty much mine, too. That was the
ugly for me.
Yeah.
I know it wasn't anything I did. Like, I know it wasn't my behavior, but to me, like, walking away from the week, like, that's the ugly thing that happened to me.
Yeah.
I still experienced it.
No, it was definitely, and that, all the underwater shares that got put to me, now I get to see how the second portion of the wheel performs. Hopefully much better than the first leg.
Yeah. Ugh.
Well, like Modell said, sometimes you have to hold your shares for a little bit, let them regain some of that value before you start trading the second portion of it.
Yeah, I got put those OGI shares, and I still haven't managed to sell any calls because it's just kept driving. The prices just kept driving downward the whole time.
And you should have sold your calls at your break-even point to at least get something out of them.
Well, that's just it. There's no value in the $4 calls. I sold $4 puts and got them put at $4.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have to reevaluate some stuff. Anyway. All right, Kyle, I think that brings us to the new bet.
All right. Stop!
world, in the center of a universe. That's for every one of us. Consequence for one of us. Make our picks with no regret. Every open, every close, every spread is the mighty bed.
I went back to the method I was using before when I was picking decent stocks when we first started this. So I've got something that's completely out of left field, but it can't do any worse than anything else.
Yeah.
All right. RFP is the ticker. It's Resolute Forest Products.
RFP.
It jumped on Friday, and it's been, if you look at its 6-month chart, it's actually been on a real nice, steady upward trajectory. I went back through trying to see what the news was, and I don't see anything. So no news, big jump. That's what I used to pick my stocks based on. So
somebody out there knows something we don't.
Hopefully.
Okay, RFP. Okay.
What's your pick, Dan? I left you Tesla in case you wanted it.
Well, I kind of want a short RFP now.
You probably should.
Well, looking at that jump on Friday, it's like, oh, no news? Well, maybe it's just a little bubble. It's about to pop.
Totally could be.
No.
Totally could be.
It totally could be, but I'm not there yet because I have my own. I was so impressed by looking at HP's chart and following classic Darvis style investing.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good time to move in on some HP. So my stock my bet pick is HPQ.
Nice.
The stock picker for that one.
Okay, I like it.
Please do a random that goes down. I'm looking for 30, 40, 50%. No big deal.
You know what? Okay. All right. Do you want to know what just came up?
Yeah, I do.
HPQ.
What? What?
What? Yeah. Wow. Swear to God. Yeah. How do we handle that?
Does that mean... Well, I think here's my pitch, because this has never happened. This is ridiculous that this happened.
Yeah.
The odds are against. I think that the random should short HP, because I already have HP as my pick.
Why do you get to decide that? Maybe you should have to short it.
Oh, if I had shorted HP, what I'm saying is yeah. is if I had shorted HP, I'd be pitching, okay, well, the random obviously is investing in HP. It's the opposite. Of whatever. I don't know, man. It never occurred to me that this could be a thing.
I mean, that helps you. That doesn't help me.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, pick again. What a weird fucking event.
I feel like you should have to pick again.
All right, I'm going to short HWIN.
No,
Jersey Deli's going down.
Wait a minute. I'm kidding. No, the random is in the lead. The random goes last. Random picks again. If random was ahead of you, then it would have gotten dibs on it. I think that's how that works.
We always make the random go last, though.
Well, we always read it last, but I think it gets priority based on where it is in the standings.
Okay.
All right, WTRH. Internet, direct marketing, retail, small cap growth, 3.3 million volume on Friday.
Not bad.
It moves quite a bit. All right, there we go. Random stock, Waiter Holdings.
All right. Oh, God, we're going to be in so much pain at the end of the month. Okay, I got HPQ, Kyle got RFP, random WTRH.
Oh, boy.
And as always, you can get your bet picks in, too. Play along. That's going to bring us to, it's closing time here at the shop. You know, my least favorite time of day.
We need to write a closing time remake, I think.
The problem is parodies, like when they're too on the nose, it's less of a parody and more of just a cover.
Yeah.
Closing time. Oh, shit. See, now I got to pay somebody money.
Yeah.
Oh, folks, we're so glad you made it with us to the end of the episode and you stuck around. We hate having to kick you out, but, you know, all good things must come to an end sometime.
Yeah,
good news is 1 week from now, we're going to have another weekly episode coming out. So,
and you can also listen on Wednesday. We talked to Jennifer Beck.
That's right, Jennifer Beck. That's going to be great, great time.
Yeah, I've got a whole list of questions for her.
Oh, yeah. pot company. Mm-hmm. That's two of my favorite things in one in general interest.
Right.
If you like our show, please let us know by rating and subscribing on your platform of choice. Know that right now, if you leave a review on Apple Podcasts, we're going to read it. And we hope that you don't make us say anything too offensive.
Oh yeah, I didn't even think of that. Well, we can always bleep. We can bleep it.
Oh yeah, no, that's what I'll do.
Yeah,
yeah. Bleeps are always more funny.
Oh goddamn. Well.
The other avenue is you don't have to like us and subscribe us on a platform. You can always just go tell all your friends. Join us here in the shop. We have here to have a good time. Maybe make some money.
Maybe.
You never know. It's a big shop. There's room for everybody.
It's happened before.
It's happened before, I swear. Yeah, I've heard about all the other guys with their big trades. Their huge gains.
Well, they only talk about their gains.
Anyhow, until next time, folks, as always, happy trades.
Bye, folks.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.